Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of Acts. Today is episode 225, looking at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Let's read our passage. In those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Well, we've got a little bit of a gap here in time from the previous narrative in the book of Acts. This begins with "in those days." Well, Luke doesn't say what days, and the best guess, the historians say, is this maybe 5 years after Pentecost. So what was the date of the previous episodes with the disciples facing down the Sanhedrin? Don't really know. But some period of time has gone by now, and the Christian community is settling into its routine, so to speak. So in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, now remember, back before, we were already up to 5,000, so it's still increasing. It says there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. Well, we got to talk about this issue of the Hellenistic and the Hebraic Jews. Now, remember, at this time, all Christians are Jews. It is not yet, it's not till later, that the gospel actually expands beyond the Jewish community. In their thinking, to be a Christian, you must be a Jew. So to become a Christian, they're only talking to the other Jews. And the native Jews who grown up their whole lives and lived in Jerusalem, they spoke Hebrew. They spoke Aramaic on a regular basis. Most of them probably speak Greek. Greek is the international language, but their native language is Aramaic and Hebrew. And in the synagogue, it's conducted in Hebrew. These are the Hebraic Jews. Now, there's Jews all over the world. And a lot of Jews wanted to move back to Jerusalem before they died. And some of that had to do with just a Jewish belief of the first to be resurrected would be those in Jerusalem. And it would then slowly spread out to the rest of the world. So it was just the sort of part of the Jewish culture was you wanted to die and be buried in Jerusalem. Now, those who lived away from Judea, who lived in, you know, the Greek world, most of them, their native language was Greek. They might have spoken Aramaic, but not as their native primary language. They spoke Greek. Now, Hellenistic refers to the Greek culture. So the Hellenistic Jews are the Greek-speaking Jews. Those are the people who have moved back to Jerusalem, and many of them are older, and they're looking to spend out their final years there in Jerusalem, to die and to be buried in Jerusalem so they could be part of the early resurrection. And all of these people are becoming Christians. The Hebraic Jews, the Hellenistic Jews are becoming Christians. Now, looking out for widows is a big deal in the Old Testament. The classic examples of charity are the orphans and widows, those who are considered just helpless in the eyes of society and in need of charity. And so part of the Christian church, we saw this idea back in chapter 2, and again, that wealthy people are donating a lot to support the needy among them, so nobody goes in need. And those that are most needy often are these widows. And there's a lot of widows they've come later in life to Jerusalem, and their husbands have died, and so there's probably a lot of Hellenistic widows who are needing the charity of the church. And that's what's referred to in the daily distribution, taking care of their needs. Now, is it a distribution of food or is it a distribution of money to buy food? It doesn't say, and it can be read either way. So this is just the daily distribution. So it's taking care of their daily needs. So apparently the community of the Hellenistic Jews, they're concerned that their widows are not getting taken care of properly in this distribution of either food or money. And there's friction between the two groups. It's not just a come here, been here kind of thing. There's cultural differences, language differences, and they even have separate synagogues. There are synagogues that are conducted in Hebrew, and there's other synagogues that are conducted in Greek. And so the Greek Jews, they go to the Greek synagogues. They hang out with Greek people. They hang out with their friends. And so you've got some tension between these two. It's not over hostility, but there is separation. And apparently the daily distribution is being managed by a bunch of the Hebraic Jews. And the complaint is, you're not taking care of the widows of our community. Well, it's a big deal. There's a problem here in the church. So verse 2, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. So summoned the whole company of the disciples. What it says is they summoned the congregation. Now, did they summon all 5,000, 10,000 of them, or just as big a group as they could? We don't know. The whole point is they brought all kinds of people in on this. They didn't just deal with this on their own. They brought the congregation in on it. And they said, you know, we can't deal with this because we got enough going on with what we are doing. And so we need to have a plan. He said, it wouldn't be right for us to give up preaching the word. Now, preaching is actually an addition there because it really, the original Greek says, would not be right for us to abandon the word. The idea being the preaching of the word of God to wait on tables. And wait on tables, the word here is diakoneo, which just means to serve the tables. Now, the tables, are these tables for eating or are these tables for distribution? And is it distribution of food or is it distribution of money? Any of those could work. So we don't know. But the whole point is that they can't take it upon themselves to deal with this. So verse 3, brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty. So why 7? Apparently that's how many they felt needed to be. And what are the qualifications? Good reputation, full of the Spirit, and wisdom. Now you think, well, that'd be the criteria for any ministry. Well, it should be. But that's the only criteria here, is good reputation. We have some solid people, full of the Spirit. We want people who know the Lord and are growing in their faith. And we want people that have a little bit of wisdom, or even a lot of wisdom. And there are two forms of wisdom here. There's the wisdom to deal with people, because this is a people thing going on. So you need people wisdom. But you also need the administrative skills to make this happen, to pull this off. So you want good, solid, reputable people who are growing in their faith, who got the smarts to do this and can deal with people. And we're going to appoint them to this duty. Verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, it's not that they're too high and mighty to do this, but they're not going to get sidetracked from what they're supposed to do, from their primary role. Their primary role is prayer and ministry of the word. And they can't allow this issue to draw them off of that issue. Because if they're not doing that, then who will? Verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose. Well, everybody agreed. This sounds like a good idea. Now, what'd the apostles say? You choose the guys to do this. We will appoint them to do it. So now the people choose. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, he lists Stephen first. Why do you think Luke does that? Well, because in the very next section, Stephen's going to play the starring role in the narrative here. And specifically says he's full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And Philip. Doesn't say anything more about Philip, but Philip's actually going to be in the next section. Philip's going to play a big role here in the book of Acts. Then Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a convert from Antioch. Luke doesn't deal with any of these guys anymore. Now, tradition, that is, it's not in the Bible, but tradition, historians say this Procurus, he was the bishop of Nicomedia and was actually martyred in Antioch, and he becomes an assistant to the Apostle John. Some say he actually was the writer for some of the things for John. Now, we don't know that for sure, but some church historians say that's the case. The other guys we don't know much about. Nicholas, we're told he's a convert from Antioch. So he was not born a Jew. He was a Gentile who became a Jew, and he was from Antioch. Now, tradition tells us that Luke was from Antioch. Maybe that's why he includes the convert from Antioch part here. Shout out to Antioch. In the book of Revelation, in the seven letters to the seven churches, there's a couple places that talk about the Nicolaitans. Now, that's much later down the road, but there is a group called the Nicolaitans who are preaching false stuff, and John is given some strong words about them to take back to these churches. It's thought that they are claiming the name of Nicholas here, one of the seven. And in fact, some of the early church fathers say that was a case, that they claimed to be followers. Now, whether they actually were, whether this Nicholas himself started a group which went off the rails, or whether these groups in the churches of Revelation are just claiming his name, it's hard to say. But when you see the Nicolaitans, they're absconding with his name there. So verse 6, they had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, this should not be taken as ordination. That's not what's going on here. That didn't come on until later down the road as part of church tradition. But their laying on of hands, it's a Jewish way of commissioning for a task. The apostles have said, this is the solution. Pick seven guys to deal with this. And here's the criteria, but you guys pick them. So the congregation picked them and said to the apostles, these are the guys. Then the apostles then basically commissioned them publicly, endorsed them, and appointed them to this task. Now, we often look at this passage as the origin of the deacon ministry. Maybe, maybe not. You know, there are, again, some early church fathers who said this is the origin of the deacon ministry. It fits. The word deacon means serve, to be a servant, to be a deacon. And we see words like that in here. So back in verse 1, overlooked in the daily distribution, the word gets translated distribution here is diakonia, which means basically ministry, the daily ministry. And the same word shows up in verse 4. We'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, the diakonia of the word. So even the apostles are saying, we're doing some diakonia here too. And those are both nouns for ministry. And in its verb form, it occurs in verse 2. It would be right on us to give up teaching the word of God to wait on tables. The word is translated as wait on is the verb diakoneo, which means to minister, to serve. So we see the variations of that word here, but the idea of this being an actual office, we're not there yet. Later in Paul's letters, we see it does become an office, but we're just not given the history of how that comes about. But it's a good model to look at. What was the issue? There was an issue causing trouble in the church, and they needed some good men to fix the issue, to take care of it, to keep the church from falling into conflict, to keep the church from sliding off of its mission to keep the church from being distracted and getting caught up with infighting and name-calling and finger-pointing. And the qualifications were good reputation, full of the Spirit, and wisdom. That is, guys we can depend on to fix the problem. And I think that's a good model to look at for the deacon ministry. Bunch of guys we can count on to fix some problems. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Acts.